Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The reading today is in Ephesians 4:17-32. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being next feeling, past feeling, having given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But we have not so learned Christ. If so be that we have heard him and have been taught by him, and as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt in according to the deceitful lusts, and renewed in the spirit of the mind, and that we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, and for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place in the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, and whether you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil and speaking be put away from you with all matters. And let be kind one to another, tenderhearted, grieving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for a word that is given to us, a word that is powerful, a word that is full, not only of wisdom and honor, but also of your love. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many times do you, after watching the news or listening to something on the radio or pay attention to whatever magazine or website that you look at, and you hear about what we as a people are doing, or you look at what's going on in our country, and you think to ourselves, we have just gone nuts? You ever wonder that? Yeah. You ever wonder, how is it we've gotten so far off the track, and what is it we can do? How many of you are discouraged? Anybody discouraged? I am encouraged. The reason I am encouraged is this. I don't think we have ever lived in a time that is closer to the time of the New Testament than we do right now. We are just like the days of Paul. We are just like the days of Corinth. We live in a world that is polytheistic, multiple gods, self-centered, hedonistic, looking only for pleasure, fairly depraved. Have you ever noticed that they can't do anything without sexuality being inserted into it? How do you sell breaks with sex? They find a way. They do everything. You watch television programs, you do everything. Have you noticed that nobody can do anything without that does not involve an alcoholic beverage in their hand? They always have something that they're drinking. We now have legalized drugs. We have done all kinds of things. And it's just like the days of Paul. And for me, What that means is that there has never been a time that you and I have that is better than now to let people see how great Christianity is. We can shine like stars in the universe, Paul talks about in Philippians. You and I have the ability to show what a difference we make because we follow and love Jesus Christ. Imagine what grace looks like in a world that's only interested in what you can do for them. Imagine what forgiveness looks like in a world that is so self-centered. Imagine how we can, with love, patience, joy, kindness, self-control, show them what a life in Jesus Christ looks like. We can be sacrificial with them. This is our time. This is our time. Bill Hybels has said, and I agree with him, that the church is the hope of the world because we are the ones that bring Jesus Christ. We just have to make sure that we behave in a manner that catches people's attention. This is the path that you and I are called to walk in a manner like we talked about last week, which is worthy, to live in a manner that reflects Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility. We get to share what Jesus has done for us. So Paul says, so I'm going to tell you this, and I want to insist on it in the Lord, Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is under no illusion that you and I get to determine what Christianity looks like on our own measure. We don't get to create the model. The model has already been given to us. We live the model of Jesus. And he is very comfortable, and he says, I testify, I witness, and I want to use the authority that I have in Jesus Christ, that here is a way that you are going to live. I don't want you to live like the Gentiles lived. I don't want you to live like they do. You and I have become new creations. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You and I are new creations, verse 18. The old is gone, the new has come. So much are we new creations. You and I regularly use the expression that when somebody comes to be a follower of Christ, he has been born again. We are new. And because we are new, we have to let go of the old. We can't do the things that we used to do. We can no longer live as the Gentiles do. And you're thinking, wait a minute, what does that mean? Gentiles is a shorthand version, way of speaking, of saying those who don't know Jesus. Those who do not know Jesus, outside the kingdom of God. He's using it in a moral sense, not in an ethnic sense. And he said, just look at their lifestyle. Just look at the lifestyle that you and I see out in the world. The problem with it is it's futile in their thinking. Have you ever read the book of Ecclesiastes? Anybody read that book? Anybody read? Yeah. He starts out with it. It's a great book. Starts off as everything is meaningless. Oh, this is going to be fun. Everything is meaningless. Meaningless, meaningless. There's nothing that has meaning. That's what Paul is saying. Their thinking is useless, it is meaningless, it is dark, it is absolutely nothing. If you really want to see what I'm talking about, I want you to go sometime to, do you ever pick up that Star magazine at the checkout counter? Do you ever pick one of those up and you ever flip, well, don't scrunch your face up, this is research. No, I'm serious, pick it up and go through it. Go through it, look at that. Every once in a while, there's this thing called the MTV Video Awards, the VMAs, the Video Music Awards. Have you ever seen that? You ever seen what I've talked? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, it is the music video, which is the number one way people get music out, and it is the one that rewards the very, very best. I encourage you to watch 20 minutes of that because after that, you kind of get nauseous. Watch 20 minutes of that, and you're going to see what I'm talking about. The futility of their thinking. And what they reward, and how they glorify, and what they're talking about. And you're thinking, you're kidding me, really? Really, this is what you want to do? Look and see what the top 10 television programs are, what the top 10 magazines are, what the top 10 websites are, what the top 10 music songs are. I look at them and I'm confused because I don't have anybody, I'm 60 years old, I can't believe I'm this old and crotchety already. I don't know who these people are. I have no idea who these people are. Paul says their ideas are futile, and then he says, not only are they futile, but they're dark and they're ignorant and they are deceitful, they're lustful. And that's what all that he puts into that. And he says, these people are going the wrong way. Are any of you YouTube users? Anybody go on YouTube and look around on YouTube? You ever look on that? Look at the top YouTube ones. And you look at it and you're thinking, people watch this stuff? Did you know that every day on YouTube, every day, there are over more than 100 hours of material that's added up every minute? Every minute. People are flooding it with all the things. And they're not all about cats. And you look at it and you say, yeah, they're futility. They're darkened in their understanding and they are separated from the life of God. Light in the day of Paul was equaled or pointed to understanding. It was illumination. It was knowledge. It was insight. These people are darkened. How can you understand God when you separate yourself from Him? How can you understand God's desires when you have no ability to know Him? You are basically ignorant. And because you have ignorance, your heart is hardened. Because you don't understand, you don't have any grasp on what God is doing, your heart becomes like stone. That's what the prophet said. Oh God, would you take away my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh? I am hard-hearted. I simply don't care. Nothing penetrates. The polar opposite of love is not hate. It's apathy. You simply don't care. You simply don't care. You don't think about them. You don't want them. You just eliminate them from your mind. They don't perceive what life can be like because they simply have hardened their heart. And life without God becomes meaningless. The human mind becomes twisted in on itself. When we become idolatrous to ourselves, we become twisted in our own worship of who we are. One of my professors named Klein Snodgrass pointed that out repeatedly. And then there's verse 19. By the way, if you underline your Bible, this is an underlined verse. Verse 19. Having lost all sensitivity, they give themselves over to sensuality, to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. If God is the author of life, and we have hardened our hearts, and we are ignorant of Him, we have cut ourselves off from Him, how do we know what it is to be human, since He is the architect of humanity? And if we no longer have connection with the one who created humanity, how in the world are we supposed to, in any way, shape, or form, behave in what it means to be human, to have sensitivity to one another? We sink into sensuality. Have you noticed that our world is rarely interested in anything that happens above the belt? We're suddenly fascinated. Did you know that we did not invent sex? Did you know that? It's been around for a long, 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 long time. I believe Adam and Eve kind of discovered it way back when. We didn't invent it, but we sure are obsessed with it. We have given ourselves over to every kind of lust, every kind of physical form of anything, whether it is food or pleasure or whatever, and we are never satisfied. In other words, what he's talking about, greed, is you have a never-ending desire that is ever, ever met. You never get to satiate your appetite. You can't get no satisfaction. It just doesn't happen. And when you look around at our culture, you see that Paul is spot on. And he says, this is how they live. That's not how you're supposed to live. You have another way of living, a living that you learned about in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You were taught in him according to the truth that is in Jesus. You and I have another way to live. We have another way that is worthy of what Jesus has given to us. We have learned how to behave. We know a better way. We know that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom to many. We know that he lived in order to glorify his Father. He came in order that he would have compassion. He came in order that he could instill and make people better around him. He told the best stories. And he was never afraid. And he showed us how to live. He showed us this is how we were taught. He showed us what it looks like to live in the truth. He showed us how to behave in a manner of the truth. We were taught in regarding how we used to live. We were taught in how you and I were supposed to let go of all of those things. Oh, here's one of the things too. You know, by the way, when we think about teaching in the church, we think about being around kids, don't we? When we think about instruction, we just think it's all about kids, not in the early church. Yeah, they did some things for kids, but the majority of people who were involved in the growth and learning process were adults, so that they could become good, mature disciples, followers of Jesus. The majority of instruction was given over so that they could become mature. And the first step was take off what is old. Get rid of what is old. It's been really hot this week. Do you know what I'm talking about? Nancy loves this. You adore this weather, don't you? Yeah, kind of. Yeah, she does. You know, when it's 100, when it's 94 degrees out and the humidity's floating around the 70s. Ick. I'm sticky. I put my hand on my desk and paper came up on my arm. It's disgusting. You know, your shirt sticks to you, your hands stick to everything. It's just gross. At the end of the day, my clothes are sticking to me, and all I want to do is get them off. Paul says, get them off. Get off the old way. Get them out of there. Put off the old way. Get rid of them. Get rid of your attitudes and orientations. Get rid of your behaviors, your selfishness, the anger, the bitterness, whatever it is. Just get rid of it and put on the new. He says in verse 23, you need to have a new attitude. You need to have a new attitude of your mind. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, Philippians 2. Or this one, you know, Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You need to have a new mind, a new attitude, and then you need to put on the new stuff. Put on the new material. Put on your new self, created to be like God, created to be righteous, created to be holy. And when you think about righteous and holy, there is no arrogance in that. It's not saying that somehow you're better than your neighbors. It means that I just want to belong to God. I want to belong to Jesus. I want to be converted. I want to have a complete conversion of my life. We're very familiar with conversion. How many of you watch HDTV? Anybody watch that? Terrible channel. Teaches you that whatever you have is you should not be satisfied with. And you go in there. And I got to tell you, I like a nice bathroom, but I'm not putting $70,000 into a room that I do stuff that I don't like to talk about. I go in there. I don't need four sinks. Although that rain shower forest, that rainforest shower, that is cool. We're used to converting our houses. We're used to converting our cars. We're used to converting everything. We even now convert people. Thank you, Caitlin. But we need to have a new conversion. We need to get rid of selfishness and give up and bring on generosity. We need to get around brokenness and embrace wholeness. We need to embrace life, loving, compassion, joy. We need to get rid of all those things. We need to grab all those things and put them on us. We need to be reconstructed in our hearts, our minds, and our souls by the Holy Spirit. Because then, therefore, you and I will get rid of certain specific things. Now, I want to point something to you. It's 5 after 11, and you're wondering, how long is he going to go? I only have 12 more pages. No, I don't. I promise you, 5 minutes and we're out of here. Can you give me 5 minutes? If you have, pardon, who said no? Who said no? By the way, if you have a restaurant engagement at 11:15, I want to say two things. Number one, you can get up and go, but number two, you need to repent. The first thing you need to do is, number one, we don't lie anymore. We tell the truth. Put off falsehood. Tell the truth. You can do it in love. Be honest. Have you noticed that in our day and age, especially if you listen to anything, everything is spun? What if we just said, as Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no's, and just let your language be what it is and be totally honest? Believer, tell the truth. Believer, speak the truth. It's critical to our faith. It gives us credibility. There is nothing false in Jesus. If God keeps his word, so should we. And in your anger, do not sin. Remember we talked about that? Of course we get angry. We don't sin. I got angry at my brother. I could be angry at my brother. It's when I took a swing at him that was a problem. I can be upset about how someone's driving. But when I take it beyond and I call a name, or I degrade the individual in my mind, that's the step. Be angry. Do not sin. Do not sin. Don't let the emotion turn into an action. Learn how to harness it. Because so many of our actions are self-centered. Have you noticed when I get upset driving, it's not because I'm looking out for someone's safety, it's they're inconveniencing me? How dare they? Don't they know I have somewhere important to go? Of course they don't. I'm not the center of the universe. Neither are they. We are called to get along. We are called to work with one another. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Oh, if we could, as Christians, could learn how not to hold a grudge. Oh, my word. If we could learn not to hold a grudge, to let it go. No nursing the anger. No rolling it around in our minds, hanging on to it. Forgive and let go. Because if I don't, then I've given the devil some room to work. I've given him a foothold. I've let him have a place to operate. No, we don't want to do that. No lying. Watch how you behave when you're angry. Don't nurse it. And the third thing is, here's what you're going to do. If you are stealing, knock it off. Let the one stealing stop. In fact, the one who's stealing now has to work, so the one who is a thief becomes a philanthropist. He stops stealing and he begins working so he can be generous to someone else. And you're thinking to yourself, well, I haven't stolen anything. Really? I remember once upon a time that they did a survey on people on how they work in the offices. And out of an 8-hour day, maybe they work 2 hours. How much do we putz around? How much do we wander all looking all over? How much do we spend time on ourselves? We are called to be examples. We are called to be someone who can look at us, and in truth and in integrity, we must stop doing that. We need to do something useful with our hands in order that we can have something to share with those around us. We have to learn to be generous. And then we watch how we talk. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Watch how we say. Let's only build people up. Paul would be absolutely repulsed by what happens on Facebook and Twitter. I know that a lot of you aren't on either one, but let me tell you, what they do now on Facebook and Twitter is that we have the ability to be anonymous and we can say all kinds of harsh, snarky things about anyone else. We can get on there and we can attack, we can be rude, we can be whatever, because we don't think anybody can find us. God knows, He sees. No unwholesome language. What we say, how we speak, how we communicate has to be something that lifts up and benefits others. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? Part of it is ignoring, disobeying, sinning. He was the one that was our down payment on redemption. So if I'm not going to do that, I'm going to get rid of, oh, look at verse 31 and 32. I'm going to get rid of bitterness. Oh, there's one that's hard to hold up. We get bitter because it doesn't go our way. I'm going to get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander. I'm going to get rid of every form of malice which looks at my neighbor and says, I want to hurt them. And unloading that nonsense, I'm going to bring in kindness and compassion to one another. I'm going to forgive just as Jesus has forgiven me. The bottom line point to all of this, and with this I will close. You and I have the opportunity to show people that Christianity is the way, the truth, and the life, because that's what Jesus is. But if they don't see something unique and different in us, if they don't see something that separates us from the culture that you and I are in, if they don't see something that transforms life, how are they ever going to be interested? But if we catch their attention, if we catch their attention because something about us is healthy, something about us is attractive, something about us just seems right, well, then we can point them to the author, the perfecter of our faith, and His name is Jesus. Because you and I, we walk in a way that is worthy of what we have been given in Jesus Christ, because we're all grown up. In Jesus' name, amen.